Amen. Well, please take your Bibles. If you'll turn with me now, the book of 1 Peter is where we're going to be starting this morning. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. We're jumping back into our series called Christ, Our Purpose. We did the first three messages in September, and then we took a short break, and now we're back for the month of October. Christ, our purpose. We're looking at our church purpose statement and seeing the biblical foundations to each part of our purpose as a church. And I hope as we're going through this, you're beginning to see how Christ truly is the purpose of everything we do as a church. And just as a reminder, a refresher, the purpose of Plantation Community Church is to make disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Six things, if you look up at the screen: calling people to Christ, helping them grow in Christ, receiving them into fellowship and service, involving them in personal and group worship, sharing God's love in Broward County and beyond, teaching and equipping people for ministry. And if you look at the first letter of each of those and spell it down, what do you get? Christ, because Christ is our purpose. He is the purpose of our church. So far we've talked about the first three of those. We did that in September: calling people to Christ, helping them grow in Christ, receiving them into fellowship and service. So now we move on to our next topic, which is that of worship. Because one of the ways we make disciples of Jesus Christ is by involving them in both personal and group worship. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, to get started, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is the word of God. Please join me in prayer. Dear Lord, as we look into your word now, I pray that you would speak to us through this passage and others we'll be looking at. Lord, not only speak to us about worship, but God, draw our hearts into worship, greater worship of you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So the purpose of our church is to make disciples, and part of discipleship is growing in your worship of God. Growing in your worship of God. There's a reason why we call people to Christ and why we receive them into the church. It's not just so we can have more bodies in church on a Sunday morning, but the more who come, the welcome. That's wonderful. But there's a reason we gather together. It's so we can worship. So we can worship God together. And you may have noticed that we spend a good deal of time every Sunday morning just simply celebrating and worshiping God through music and prayer. And I want you to know that that's not just a warm-up to the sermon or the message, okay? It's not an optional part of the service. This is part of our essential purpose as a church. It's one of the main reasons we're here. We're here to worship God. And so if you walk in right before the message and say, oh, good, I didn't miss church today. Yeah, you did. Okay, you didn't miss the message, but you missed the worship. And then this is another way we worship, through the preaching and hearing of God's word. But you missed out on some of the most important part of why we're here, is just to sing praises to God and to worship him. So you want to make sure you get here. Get here a few minutes early if you can. Say hi to some people. Sit down. Settle your hearts. Focus on God. Prepare to worship him. You know, our English word worship comes from the word worth-ship. Okay, that's the old English, worth-ship, simply meaning how much something is worth. And so when you worship God, you are saying that God is worth it. God is worth it. He is worthy of all your adoration, love, excitement, and praise. How often do you expend your energy and resources on things that are not worth it? I'll fess up. Yeah, I can think of plenty of activities, projects, ventures, purchases in my life that in the long run They just weren't worth it. I can look back on any number of things and honestly say, I wasted my time on that, or I wasted my money on that. But here's the thing, you will never have that problem when it comes to your worship of God. God is always worth it, and he is worthy of your first and your best. Notice from our purpose statement that as a church, we want to involve you in personal and group worship. Personal and group worship. Both are equally important. If you only worship God on your own, and you never gather with the body of Christ for worship, then you're missing out on the joy of worshiping God together as a church family. And if you only worship God in church on Sundays, then you're missing out on the joy of worshiping God personally during the week. Both are important. God didn't save you just so you could come to church. He saved you so you could worship him, both in church and also in your personal life. There's an outline in your worship guide. I would encourage you to take that out and take a look at that. Keep that out. It will help you to follow along in the message. And maybe you'll want to jot down some notes, something God might speak to your heart during the message today. So what does it mean to worship? First of all, it means proclaiming God's excellencies. Proclaiming God's excellencies. 1 Peter 2:5, we read this earlier, says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And here we see both aspects of worship coming together. First Peter says, you're like a living stone. Okay, that's individual. It means you have a personal relationship with Christ and you worship God throughout the week. But then what does God do? God takes us, his living stones, and he builds us into a spiritual house. A spiritual house where we may proclaim his excellencies together. So each of us worships God in our personal lives. And then when we come together, that praise is magnified as we lift our hearts and voices to the Lord in praise. You know, we have a whole book in the Bible dedicated just to praising God, the book of Psalms. And let me just read to you a portion of that from Psalm 9, one of my favorites. Just listen to David's heart of praise to God. "I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will govern the peoples with justice. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, O Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." That's just a taste of the type of praise you get from the Psalms. And again, the Psalms proclaim the goodness and the greatness of God, his power, his majesty, his holiness, his sovereignty, his justice, his compassion, his mercy, love, forgiveness, and grace. Praise in the Psalms is very specific. Okay, the Psalms rarely just say, "Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord." They say that, but then they usually go on and they give us specific reasons why we praise him. And those reasons always have to do with two things, with God's character and his actions. God's character and his actions. God's character, God is holy and loving and perfect. His actions are righteous and just, full of mercy and grace. And when you proclaim God's excellencies, you are declaring God's infinite value and worth. You expand your thoughts of God and you come closer to appreciating him for who he is. You can never think too big thoughts of God. God is greater. God is more wonderful. God is more majestic than any thoughts you or I could ever imagine. You can only have too small thoughts of God, never too big. Worshiping God means, first of all, proclaiming God's excellencies. Secondly, worshiping God means worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Maybe you're familiar with that phrase. Maybe you've heard that before. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth. It comes from the Gospel of John, the 4th chapter, where Jesus enters into a dialogue with a woman by the well. And towards the end, he tells her this. He says, "A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." Notice how Jesus relates the word spirit here to the fact that God himself is spirit. God does not have a physical body. God is not a part of the physical created universe because he is the one who created the physical universe. And Jesus is teaching us here that true worship is not just the physical forms of worship. It's not so much where you worship or when you worship or how you worship. Rather, true worship is spiritual in nature. It's not a matter of just going through the motions, showing up at church, stand when the people stand, sing when the people sing, sit when the people sit, pray when the people pray. No, true worship comes from the heart, and it is empowered by God's Holy Spirit. And when we worship God in spirit, we focus our hearts and our attention on Him. We give Him our love, our adoration, and our praise. That's worshiping in spirit. Jesus said the true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So what does it mean to worship God in truth? Well, part of it relates back to what we've just said about worshiping in spirit. Your worship must be heartfelt. It must be sincere. It must be true worship of God from the heart, not just the outward motions. But worshiping God in truth also has to do with thinking and saying true things about God. True things about God. This is why the Bible is essential to the proper worship of God. Now, we can have some understanding of God simply from nature and creation. We look at God's handiwork, his creation. We learn some of his awesome power, some of his beauty. A lot we can learn. But in the Bible, we have a much fuller and more complete revelation of God's character and his actions, his works in history. The Bible is full of truth about God from God. Doesn't get any better than that, right? Who knows God better than God himself? And so the songs we sing in worship should be full of truth about God from the Bible. When we read the scriptures in our service, we give our attention to the words as they are read because they are the very word of God. When God's word is preached, we listen in expectation because we know that God's word has the power to change our lives and the lives of those around us. When we join together in prayer, we speak to God in the quietness of our hearts and we praise him for who he is and what he has done. These are all aspects of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. So what does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? If we're going to take all that we just said, right, put it all together in some form of a definition, we would get something like the following. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth means this. Worshiping God truly and sincerely from the heart in the power of the Holy Spirit while proclaiming the truth about God as found in Holy Scripture. Is that how you worship God? If so, then you're worshiping in spirit and truth. Do you worship God truly and sincerely from your heart? Do you do this in the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you do this while proclaiming truth about God as found in the scriptures that God has given to us? You see, God is worthy of our praise because all these things that we proclaim about him are true. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, and all-kind. And when we proclaim God's excellencies, we are simply speaking the truth about God and praising him for it. These are the kinds of worshipers God the Father seeks, those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. One more aspect of worship I want us to look at this morning, and that is offering God your very life. Offering God your life. Once again, worship is so much more than what simply takes place on Sunday mornings. Yes, it's this. This is such an important part of it, but it's so much more than that. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He writes, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." And part of ascribing value and worth to God is offering him your very life. You see, everyone lives for someone or something. And whatever it is you live for, that is to which you ascribe ultimate value. The person who lives for pleasure values pleasure more than anything else. The person who lives for power values power. The person who lives for money values money. The person who lives for self values self. And in the same way, the person who lives for God values God most in their life. So when you live for God, when you offer your very life to him, you are ascribing ultimate value or worth to God. And this is your spiritual act of worship. Now, when we talk about someone offering their life, we usually think of that in terms of someone dying, right? We think about the soldier who offers up their life on the battlefield. We think about Jesus who offered up his life on the cross. But here in Romans 12, when Paul speaks of offering our bodies to God as living sacrifices, okay, God is not talking about dying for Christ here so much as living for Christ. Now, there are many people who have died for Christ throughout the ages. We call them martyrs. They are martyrs for the faith. We should have the utmost admiration and respect for their sacrifice. But here's the thing, every martyr long before they died for Christ, they first learned to live for Christ. And that's what Paul is talking about here in Romans 12. God wants you to give him your whole life, completely and without reservation. Almighty God, all that I have, all that I am, I give it to you. Use me for your kingdom and your glory. I offer you my body and my life as a living sacrifice, pleasing and holy to you. I value you, O Lord, above all other things. I worship you. And so one of our purposes as a church is to bring you, to involve you in personal and group worship, proclaiming God's excellencies, worshiping him in spirit and in truth, offering him your very life. Why? Because God is worth it. God is worth it. So as we close out this morning, let me just ask you, how are you doing with this purpose? We've looked at all these different purposes. How are you doing with this one? When you come to church, do you come prepared to worship? When you come to church, do you come ready to celebrate our awesome God? Because if not, then you're missing out on one of the main reasons why the church exists. We are here to worship him. God is seeking people. He's looking for us. He's looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. God saved you so you could worship him. And if you've lost some energy or interest in church, perhaps it's because you've lost sight of worship. And then remember, worship is not just for Sunday mornings. Do you celebrate and worship God throughout the week as well? The church is not a building or a time slot or a program. The church is the people. The church is us. And so these purposes only become real as you and I live them out in our day-to-day lives. God is awesome. God is holy. God is great. God has given us life. God sent his only Son into the world that whoever believes in him, Jesus, will not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, that is worth getting excited over, right? That is worth celebrating. Amen? And that's why we're here. That's what the church is all about. That is worth loving and worshiping God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, this day, tomorrow, and forever. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we love you this morning. We praise you. We thank you. You are so worthy of all of our worship. We thank you that the angels in heaven constantly worship you, and you are receiving constant praise because, Lord, that doesn't happen down here. But, Lord, I pray that we might at least continually worship you, that daily and hourly we would bring our praise to you and our thanksgiving, and we would worship you and proclaim your excellencies and worship you in spirit and in truth and constantly give our lives back to you. Lord, my life is yours. Take me. Use me as you would. Because, God, that is the worship that you have called us to. Help us as a church. Help us as individuals to fulfill this beautiful purpose of worship that you've given us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.